The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. With Cheers, you're going to start feeling better when you wake up. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell Raheel in London. So Dell will move into here as Tyler moves in, and Art couldn't be happier about that right here on ESPN 97.5.
The only thing better would be if Tyler White would co-host.
Do you know...
And Tyler Scott would be a producer.
Do you know, it's funny. I think it was AJ said, I wonder if, you know, the guys who lost their jobs in the media, because there's been a lot of bloodletting lately in the media. Well, especially over at 610. They've just been axing everybody because they really sucked in the ratings lately. But if you feel as bad, I mean, a lot of people, I don't know. Do you feel as bad for Tyler White as you do for those people?
I haven't really compartmentalized it, to be
honest
with you.
Well, I like Paul Gallant, you know, and he got let go recently, and I was doing the show with him over at on Channel 57.
Does that count as a body bag? Does that count as a body bag?
What?
You were doing a show with Paul Gallant, and now look what happened.
No.
That's a body bag?
No, it's not. I was doing a show, and he didn't get fired from the show I was doing with him.
It's still a body bag.
No, it's not.
It's you rubbed off.
No.
I wasn't doing shows with people for years, and Dell counts them for me.
Well, it doesn't matter. It was at the place where you were doing the show with them.
No.
And you got them fired. Congratulations.
No, I don't. I get blamed for all of it.
Yeah.
So you caught one.
Well, Adam Wexler found his way back, but Nat Jackson didn't.
Why are you so disrespectful?
I'm not disrespectful.
You know what I call you? Morning AJ. You are morning AJ.
No.
Disrespectful, saying people are going to be living under overpasses.
Oh, no, that was AJ. I never said that.
Yesterday, I'm on the show.
And AJ caught it for that, too.
I'm just on the show doing my Monday appearance with AJ and Fred, and all AJ wants to drag me into, like, bashing all the other hosts, the afternoon show that's going to be going up against them. He's like, you and John terrified of... Now the new morning lineup at 6:10. I don't know. We're the Patriots. We just do our jobs, and if we execute, we think we'll be fine.
Yeah. No, everybody thinks they're going to come up and kill the king. Guess what? That crap ain't happening here. Listen,
Joffrey died.
What a
Tommen died.
Yeah. A lot of kings die.
What a really crappy day I had.
Robert Baratheon. A lot of kings die. I count four without really even trying.
Listen, I had a real crap day yesterday.
Okay? What happened? You can get your truck stole like Matt Rule did.
He got his truck stole?
But like Sunday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We talked about it on the show yesterday. Right, Dale?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I brought it up. Yeah.
Oh, you did? I missed that part.
Yeah. It was brief.
Yeah, I missed that part.
Was it that bad?
I saw an interview with Cal McNair.
Oh, no.
There was an interview with Cal McNair.
Well,
and I say no more.
You win.
No, I literally woke up this morning and I thought, I'm kind of disappointed because I think Cal McNair could have really started his regime as the general manager in a whole different way than has been. Now, nothing against, but there's been so milquetoast, this organization.
Right.
It's been so red, white, and blue, and we're going to, darn it, we are going to do the right thing, and we're not going to get any players that have any problems, and we're going to, you know, we do it in the community and in the right way, and Liberty Red and Yellow White or whatever the hell they are.
What's he supposed to do?
No, that's fine. Well, I'll tell you what he was supposed to do. What? I'm going to tell you exactly what he was supposed to do, because we live in fear. And we've shown it on the football field. Yeah, we walked in with some Letterman jackets, and we said, "We look at us."
Why can't I bring that up?
We're 11, because it's exactly the freaking thing.
That wasn't fear.
One time.
That was swagger, and then they got their heads cracked open.
It was false swag. It was false swag.
It was real swag.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, they had real swag. Yeah, they walked just in didn't, they
with Letterman jackets in an NFL game. High school Letterman jackets on, to an NFL game. And you know what it showed? They were high school. They should have been in high school.
That was their swagger.
No.
That team had swagger.
One time when Wes Welker blew out both knees because he actually stepped on a field that shouldn't have been in an NFL field, that was the one time that this organization was able to beat the New England Patriots. Mm-hmm. The one time.
In a game that didn't matter to the Patriots.
Every other time, the Patriots have just shoved it like we're the weaklings on the beach and they kick sand in our face.
Well, okay.
And they kicked sand in our face again this offseason. So here's the deal. So the Texans want Nick Caserio, all right? They talk to Nick Caserio. The next day they fire their general manager. We're going after Nick Caserio. Bob Kraft, the bully, who's on the beach right after he got done with his massage, he's on the beach and he's flexing, and he goes, "You're tampering." And Cal and the whole organization, because we were so scared of them. Here's the deal. If you have a league rule that says a guy can move up from this position, if he moves up, he can move teams. If he moves up from VP of personnel to general manager, that's legal. You can go after him. But the Patriots said, well, we've got a clause in his contract that says no. Remember when Ray Farmer of the Browns was texting to coach during the game?
Right.
And he got suspended for that.
It's illegal.
The league rule is you can't text. The general manager can't text the coach during the game.
Right.
That's a league rule. So Ray Farmer got suspended. Well, if the Browns had said, well, we got it in Ray's contract that he can text the coach during the game, the league would have said, we don't give a rat's ass. You can't text during the game. Well, here's the deal. If the Texans would have said, listen, the league rule is if he's vice president of personnel and we want him as general manager, the league rule says he can come here. That's not tampering. But the Patriots had in Caserio's contract, well, it said we put in his contract that he can't talk to any other team about any other job. Well, the league rule says, no, yes, you can. So if they would have challenged that instead of backing down and gone, Bob Kraft said, we're tampering, so we're going to pull it back and we're going to not have a general manager for a year. Good Lord, could you? It's the same crap. They kicked sand in our face and we just said, no, we're backing down.
I'm trying to figure out where the Cal McNair interview touched you on this doll.
Because he's talking about...
How did this pop
back
up?
No, because he's talking about...
this is old. Like, here, we know...
No, I get that. But he's talking about, hey, you know, I hear on the radio, I don't know who to call if I want to make a trade. Well, Pete, they know who to call. And we've been working on the only team in the league that doesn't have a general manager. Well, we've been working on that, okay? Well, it's a flatter organization with a faster management style. The organization totally re-energized with a team-based approach as opposed to somebody who's making damn decisions. Deflect and, oh, no, we're okay. All is well here. No, it's not. You don't have a general manager. Listen, and here's the reason that they're not getting killed. If this was the Jets or the Giants or even the Browns or whatever, if it was another team, they'd be getting killed by everybody else in the league. But it's the Texans. Oh, well. You know, it's aggravating that they're this. Who does this? Who doesn't have a general manager for a year?
Listen, just sink in, just relax and just take it in and just absorb it. It's your reality. There's no reason
to
get upset.
This
is what you do.
You should really
adopt your squad.
Adopt
it is my squad, and that's why it's so frustrating.
Do you have a PSL?
Yes, since its inception.
Just relax and take it.
Sit back and say, this is my team.
This is fine.
It's inevitable.
Hold on.
Let it happen.
Stop it, Bobby Knight. I'm not doing that.
This is fine. No, it's not about Bobby Knight. It's been years of this. Raheel came to the conclusion, okay, I'm done. When they extended...
Well, I'm not
when
done.
I'm
not giving up.
Bill O'Brien, he was like, okay, I'm done with you guys until you actually show some change. Just relax and go.
Just do this.
This is who we are.
That's my squad. Watch this.
Sip some tea or some coffee.
What?
Feels nice having a team-based approach now.
Like this? No. You know what? That's after I score a nice. Goal. I sipped the English
feels nice
tea.
Having a team-based approach now in a flatter management style.
Oh, my God. What is flatter? What is a flatter organization mean?
It's a
mean?
Flatter management style.
What does that mean?
And an energized base.
What does that mean?
And a faster, more efficient core. You just say those words together. Fast, efficient, management style.
What does a flatter core. Organization mean? What does that mean?
If you just say it. It's going to work
Everyone's
out.
Everyone's on the same level.
Yes.
There's no hierarchy. Yes. We're all on the same level.
It's a team
level.
Approach. That always works.
It's not one person. It's a team approach.
That always works. A flatter organization. Nobody's in charge.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Tear down the patriarchy.
No, it's just, every time I think of it, it just makes me mad. You know what?
Hierarchy.
And if he would have, I mean, honestly, if he would have said, well, wait a minute, let me check with our lawyers here. What the hell? How can the Patriots change league rules?
What if the Patriots...
Let's fight this thing instead of, you know what? Let's fight this thing. So they say we're tampering. Well, no, we're not. He can move up in jobs. He can move up a position. So we should be able to talk to him. Let's fight it instead of... Eh.
You do have to ask for permission. Now, and then you can go from there. Now, if Cal McNair were to call into the show and say... And Mr. McNair, I just want to say this is in John's own words. Doop be deer be doop be deer. And then I assume that happens before or after he speaks and then says, yeah, John, I still don't know his voice. I didn't hear the interview, so I don't know that I still have ever heard him. But if he said, yeah, we actually had several text messages out there, Jack Easterby, so they were going to get draft picks taken from us. Then this whole segment would be over. Then it would be over. There is no fighting that if they had text messages out there because that is tampering.
What if they didn't have text messages out there?
Then you could have
fought
it.
What if it was just...
Here's what would
have happened. What if they went about it intelligently and Jack Easterby just went up to him at the ring ceremony and goes, hey, you want to come over?
I think he'd...
Come on over. And wear no microphones because you know... Right. And
he's got to cover his mouth. Something.
He's got to cover his mouth.
You got to be a major league pitcher and pitcher.
Like a coach and a catcher. Or like a pitcher and a catcher.
Or.
Out on the mound. You got to cover your mouth and you got to whisper.
Was it Donnie Brasco where they were also talking like this out in the streets?
Yeah.
It had to be something like
either
that.
Like a mafia boss. Because that's what Jack Easterby is.
Okay. Well, he's Mr. Rogers.
And
he's dealing with the mafia.
That or he's a mafia. He's a
mob Mr. Rogers who just came from the mafia.
Okay. Eat one of those two things. But I just wish. You know what? Even if you lost a third rounder, I don't care. Go
something.
For it. And show that.
Nah.
You know what? We're going to fight these guys.
No, you
We're
going to
fight the evil empire. Well, are they not the evil empire?
Yeah.
Is it the Yankees or the Patriots?
The Yankees are the evil empire.
No, the Patriots are in football.
Yeah, the Patriots are the evil
empire. The Patriots are the Yankees.
Are you kidding? They cheat. They tape.
They're the most evil empire.
Football.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but that nickname was given to the Yankees, I think, even by Rome. I don't know who did it.
Oh,
but,
my God. Look at one of them looks like a Sith Lord. He even wears a hoodie that looks like a Sith Lord. Belichick.
He is. He is the evil empire.
No, that's
nerd.
Not. Don't
no
even
nerds.
Start Marvel.
Both of you
don't
are nerds.
Start Marvel.
Oh, you're going to call us.
Don't
start.
Yes!
Call
I heard
us
you
nerds.
Had good news over the weekend because Marvel's lied and extended the franchise or whatever.
What do you mean lied?
You're going to call us nerds.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I
just did.
All right.
Actually, Homer Simpson did.
All right.
Sith Lord.
You guys
are
both
mainstream.
Nerds.
Okay. That's not nerd.
Stop
that's
it,
mainstream.
You're
I don't even like
Captain
Star Wars.
Marvel's a girl, and you're going to call us nerds.
What does that have to do with anything? There are a lot of people who are girls. That doesn't make any sense. The fact that you have an issue with that makes you a nerd.
I don't have any issue
yes,
with that.
Yes, you do. Because you...
I don't have any issue because I'm not going to go
see nerd.
It. It kind of makes him a nerd because, wait a minute, wasn't she a guy before? She can't be a girl. You sound like every internet nerd ever. You, of course you're a nerd.
No. And by the way, let's take a break.
Just accept what the Texans are. You're never going to be happy
Dell's
with them.
Gonna be salty.
I'm not going to sit
the
back and enjoy it like you said.
Did you look and see what the score was already? They just scored a while ago. It's 2-0 now. So Dell's going to be salty this whole time.
Why would I be salty?
I saw you throw your hands up when Chelsea almost scored a goal.
Yeah,
earlier.
I was happy. I wanted to see Chelsea score. You can't read me. Stop
You're
it.
Not getting a goal. You're not getting a goal.
What do you mean I'm not getting
this
a goal?
This is Barcelona's match. You're done.
What?
Stay in there and stay
what
mad.
What are you talking about?
Because they're going to get two
Barcelona's
more on you.
Barcelona's trailing. What are you talking about? Weirdo. They're losing.
Chelsea's up 2-0.
What are you talking about?
Oh.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
I thought Barcelona.
Never mind.
Let's talk about
nerd
steam cleaning.
All right. Ooh. Oops.
Let's talk about steam cleaning.
Okay, because here's the thing.
Don't quit talking about soccer. Steam cleaning.
Yeah. All right. Enough kickball. Let's talk about oops. Okay. Listen. Here's the deal. If you are somebody that hasn't, when was the last, honestly, you wash your face every day, right? I hope. You brush your teeth? I hope. I don't know. I hope that. I also hope that you clean your carpets every once in a while. Honestly, you're sitting in your car right now. When's the last time you cleaned your carpets? If you can't answer that question, you need to call Oops now, because it's always time. It is time for you to clean your carpets, okay? Because they're filthy. They're filthy. You walk on them all the time. There's spills all the time. You're like, okay, no, it's not fine. You really need to clean your carpets, because Oops is ready for you right now to give them a call. Go to their website, oopssteam.com, oopssteam.com. They clean everything, too. If you've got upholstery that you've got, you did something on it, I don't know, and make sure you clean it. They use 250-degree heat that is going to kill all the fungi and germs and whatever grado you left on your carpets or your upholstery and your drapes, on your whatever, on anything. They can clean everything, including tile and grout. They're outstanding, and they don't leave any residue behind because they don't use soap. Background screened professionals, employees, not contractors. This is awfully important because they're going to be in your home and you can trust them. Rugs, upholstery, dining room, chairs, sofas, everything. It typically takes less than an hour. So give them a call, 281-822-0561. Or go to oopssteam.com. Clean your carpets, oopssteam.com.
ESPN.
97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We can win with this team the way it is today. And when you talk about three pitchers, usually in a playoff series, you use three or four starters, but you can sometimes use three. And when you have Verlander and Cole, 1-2 punch, and then you have Miley, who's been pitching as well as he has, and then you've got, you know, the bullpen that we have, we can win a seven-game series against any playoff team right now. But that doesn't mean there's not going to be an opportunity that presents itself to bring in another starter who could be a playoff rotation starter. So we're looking at them. We have been. Nothing's done yet. You know, I can't really forecast whether it will or not. In 2017, everybody else thought I needed a starter. We didn't get one on July 31st, and then we did get one on August 31st, but that was no slam dunk either. We got a little lucky there, too.
You did get a little lucky.
But Jeff, you did get a starter, and it was Justin Verlander.
Everyone's right, okay, and so, you did get lucky.
Yes, everyone thought we were going to get one on July 30th. No, everyone thought, well, you were really disappointed because you didn't, but then you got Justin freaking Verlander.
Who saved your
and
season,
he changed
the
world.
You had an historic offensive run, and you almost ruined it by being too passive.
Did you?
Although Sonny Gray, who was mentioned that year, has turned out to be a total disaster.
Well, a lot of that, though, we've seen pitchers before that couldn't pitch in New York. Remember, there was a guy that was, I forget, back in the 90s, and he was a really good pitcher, and he went to New York, and he just couldn't win a game. I forget. Maybe Twitter will help us out.
I don't know. David Wells could do it. CeCe could do it.
No. But there was a guy that couldn't, and Sonny Gray couldn't. So is he planting a seed? Did he plant a seed there where it's like, you know, as I said before, we can win without picking. We can win right now without picking anybody up.
I don't think so, but you just never know. Cause Jeff Luhnow is very, obviously very passive by nature when it comes to that. He just doesn't like dealing his guys. And
he's anti-Morey.
So what he does, here's why, because he's very value-based. I just don't think he believes in I just don't think he believes in paying too much for what the value of the player is.
Yeah.
And I think inherently he knows what the value is, and he knows he's paying too much. But this is the thing, though, Jeff. If you're going to be out there, and that, yeah, you don't have to pay outrageous value if you're going after a closer who has a domestic violence charge pending, right? You got in late on Justin Verlander, who people really weren't in on because they didn't think they could get him. Remember how that went down?
Yeah.
People didn't think they could get Justin Verlander. So there wasn't the run on Justin Verlander that was anticipated. It wasn't until you convinced him to open up that no trade that you got him. It's not, generally speaking, I know Jeff Luhnow wants to get, you know, an even proposition or better value in these trades. It's just not going to happen at trade deadline time. It's not going to.
Yeah.
And that's why he'll go after Robbie Ray types and Bumgarner. He wants to get them, you know, if they're reasonably priced. They're reasonably priced because Robbie Ray's never been anything better than, you know, realistically a number three on a playoff team. Realistically. I mean, for a team like the Astros, he's not a one
or two.
No,
he was number two with the Diamondbacks a couple of years ago.
Yeah, but I mean, a legitimate contender like the Astros, he's not a number two on a legitimate.
Oh, well, nobody's going to be the number two here because Gerrit Cole is.
No.
All right.
That's what I'm saying.
No.
And then, you know, Bumgarner used to be, but that's a whole, so did Keuchel. So who cares about the used
well,
to be's? That's why he'll go after
him.
I know this.
I talked to somebody in the organization and he goes, well, remember, I mean, look, we're looking for a deal like the Verlander deal. Now, we don't know how Franklin Perez is going to turn out or Daz Cameron or Jake Rogers is going to turn out, but they weren't like huge. They didn't have to give up Tucker or
Whitley.
That's
why they did it. They were excited about that.
That's right. And, you know, that's right. That's why they did it. They got over. And they've gotten over on other trades. Now, they have given up stuff before, and it's hurt. Josh Hader hurt. They just let JD Martinez go, so that wasn't really applicable. But they have made some trades where the guys, you know, it worked out for the other team. It's okay if it works out for the other team because you're trying to win a championship here. I really think that Jeff is maybe planting a seed going, you know, I just, like I said before, I think we're good enough, guys. Maybe we'll pick up a reliever. And here's a real problem now is that the San Francisco Giants are playing so well that Bumgarner is probably off the market now. They're just a couple of games out of the wild card, two and a half games out of the wild card.
That's not good enough.
But they're playing great baseball right now. And
I get it.
Thing is, you're only a couple of weeks away, or you're what, 8 days away from the trade deadline, 9 days away from the trade deadline. They're going. Wait a minute. We got to see how this goes.
I'm gonna throw you something that's gonna make Astro Twitter very, very mad. I'll be the scorn of Twitter. I don't care. I'm going to throw this out there because I was having this conversation with my brother-in-law yesterday. And when you just go through this exercise, it's an interesting exercise when you're open-minded about it. If the Mets came to you and said, we'll give you Syndergaard, but we want Carlos Correa, straight up.
Okay.
I know. And I'm thinking they'd actually ask for a prospect too. Now, Carlos Correa, club control.
Oh, yeah.
A little longer than Syndergaard.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind. So there's...
they got 3 years left of Correa control.
I know there's a thought that
and
you
he's
say...
he's cheap. He's only $5 million right now.
Exactly. There's a thought that you'd say, that's probably why you wouldn't give up. You'd say, no, if you want this deal, you get Carlos Correa flat out, period, and we're not touching it. Now, I know that makes everyone freak out and get all upset.
It's star for star.
I want you to think about this, though. It's your seventh best hitter, because he is not better than Yuli. Not now. He's not better than any of the guys.
I was thinking about this yesterday, though, because of what he has done here before. It wouldn't shock me if he starts to hit. Now, last year, they moved him down to 7 in the lineup because he was really, really bad when he came back and into the last month of the season and into the playoffs. He was batting 7th. But if he's apparently hitting the ball well, he's got that confidence back, he looks good. And by the way, Diaz coming back and homering right away was awesome. That was sweet, especially after how bad he was in the minors. He was like 1-for-17 in his rehab. But Carlos Correa, it might even move into the five hole. Jordan six and Yuli seven.
Why?
Because,
why would you do that?
Well, because he's got a history of, and he has. No. He's performed in the postseason.
History schmistry.
I know. Come on. Listen, as long as, listen, if he's hitting in the seven hole,
John Jordan,
you put some
the,
respect on his name.
Jordan is one of your probably
the number
most,
one
two
overall
most dangerous. Jordan's probably one of your two most dangerous hitters in the lineup right now.
I get it. But you also have to.
Carlos doesn't get respect on his on this lineup.
No.
Your respect on your name is the seven hole.
The thing is, though, we're seeing this young man do it now when it gets really tighter, when it's the postseason, when you're facing the best pitchers. I'm hoping, don't get me wrong, I think well, he's done things. He's done something that no one else has ever done. 35 RBIs in his first 30 games.
It's
no one in history has ever
record.
Done that.
Major league record.
No
one.
I know.
Beat Albert Pujols.
By record, I'm...
He
keeps
three,
a record of the first 30
he's
games.
Major League Baseball.
I know. But
he's hitting.
It's
well,
kind
that's
of a,
because he kept breaking records, no. And so the next time he has 40 games, he'll probably have a new record, and then so on and so forth. Here's the thing: Jordan's hitting 347. Two more walks yesterday because he's got plate discipline, and pitchers don't want to pitch to him. So you got men on base with opportunities for Yuli to get ribs, which is what he's getting. Yuli, how do you? You can't move him. Yuli has had hits in 22 of his last 23 games, yep. 33 of last 37, John, he's got in his last nine games, he's got three hits and three RBIs three different times.
Yuli's doing this with Reddick as his protection. I mean,
Yuli right now can do it anywhere.
Anywhere.
But what I'm saying is, why not? Why? I mean, you got a murderer's row. I don't see why you jack with it. But more importantly,
not the way Jordan is hitting.
Let's say he's better than Jordan for whatever reason. Even though every major league team would rather trade for Jordan probably right now than Carlos Correa, who's been injured every year of his career. If you basically say we'll trade, who would? I know the thought is going to be Carlos Correa because we've always had this high expectation for Carlos Correa. The reality is you'd be trading for a number one pitcher and you'd be giving up your number six or seven hitter. No one even thinks about that. You immediately do that deal across it, but it's challenging because we've got so much love for Carlos Correa and his potential. But when you get a chance to have a true number one pitcher and you give up a sixth or seventh best hitter on your lineup.
Yeah.
You almost have
two,
to consider
you got
that.
Two ones, just like you got now, but you're losing that other one. Thanks to you. No, yeah.
You could decide.
Let's wait and see. Let's see if he can do it again.
You could decide.
Can he do it? Is Garrett Cole good enough to sign long term?
So far he's doing okay.
Oh my God, he's the best pitcher in baseball right now.
Against the Angels against the
Rangers. The last 2 months, he's the best
against
pitcher
in baseball.
Against
the Rangers and A's.
What?
Against the Rangers and A's.
He's pissed against everyone and kicked their ass.
But if you brought a Syndergaard on, it gives you protection against Cole leaving. If Cole stays, it gives you three hammers. And then when Verlander's gone, fade that, and you've got your two.
A couple more years of Verlander. I mean, this would be unbelievable if Cole stayed and you had Syndergaard as well, because you're getting Syndergaard on the cheap right now. Dude's only making $6 million.
Swear to God, I would consider a move like that. And I know that because you can certainly function without Carlos Correa from a hitting standpoint. Now, defensively, you lose something when Carlos Correa's not on the field. Carlos has
better
range.
But he's not on the field anyway.
But he's not. Go look at every year he's ever played. Go find the games he plays more than 120 games. Go find the years. He's done it once.
730 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776.
I'm just throwing it out there. We just had a hypothetical discussion. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, do it.
I think I would do that if that came up. Anyway, let me tell you about Ramjack. You know what? We talked about the foundation. You have to build a foundation. A strong foundation keeps things from crumbling. And that goes for your actual foundation as well. Ramjack is a company who basically can fix what's wrong with your home when it comes to the foundation issues. When I say foundation issues, we're talking about those issues where, and they can come out to your home and give you that on-site evaluation, but classic cases of foundation issues are cracks in your sheetrock, and this is on the interior, molding pulling away, large gaps in your molding, sloping floors, cracks in your ceiling. On the exterior, you might see cracks in a brick, your chimney pulling away, gaps around your garage door. Let me tell you something. These are really bad problems that are only going to get worse. It's not going to get better. And then you start jacking with the integrity of your home. You need to make sure you have the experts at RamJack come out there and take a look, on-site evaluation, so that they can get started on correcting those foundation issues before they get worse and more costly to repair. And that can happen as well. They have patented technology with the deep driven American, 100% American made steel that gets it right the first time. And there are some companies where you have to have them come out and reassess and double check on their warranty and make sure that their warranty is still working, provided they're still in business. They got over 40 years in business and their technology is the same every time out. So their warranty matters to you. Do it right the first time. Rely on the experts. Rely on RamJack Foundation Repair. Go to RamJack.com or give them a call today at 713-599-0102. That's 713-599-0102. Lifetime transferable warranty. Make sure that you go with the experts at RamJack.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. We got a giveaway here. We'll do this at 7:40 exactly. We want people to call in. We'll give the streamers a chance. Is the stream working today? Probably not. Looking for something fun to do this summer? Rooftop Cinema Club is the ultimate open-air film experience. Enjoy awesome food and craft cocktails on the rooftop at sunset with comfy deck chairs and personal headphones so you can enjoy iconic movies under the stars uninterrupted. Caller number 10, 713-780-3776, is going to win a pair of lounge seat tickets plus popcorn to see Boys in the Hood on Monday, July 29th at 8:30 p.m. To check their full program and book tickets to go to Rooftop Cinema Club, go to rooftopcinemaclub.com. Rooftopcinemaclub.com. How about that? Caller number 10 at 7:40 exactly. So don't call in now. Wait till your phone says 7:40. All right, so what else happened? So let's talk about the Astros right now. What an ass whooping last night, and it was. Did you hear? Were you listening to Rick Armstrong? Did you hear
him? He was in the booth.
In the booth,
and they kept having to interrupt him because there's home runs all the time.
How?
Well, one time like, I remember when my dad was. Oh my God! It's happening again. Yuli Gurriel with another home run, 590 feet, exit velo with a launch angle. And Todd Callis is losing his mind. Back to your dad. Yeah. What happened? What else with the moon? Les Bastidas, another launch angle, 17.6, exit velo, 97.3. So the moon, what's the deal? What were you saying? The moon and your dad?
Didn't your dad
in his
like
50
do
years
something?
Ago? Oh, there's a double and a gap. A Yuli is hurting their peepees and punching them in the teeth. Whoa. Oh, my God.
What?
Rick.
He didn't say that. Rick, Todd Kellis never said anything about
Rick,
taint. About taint.
Back to the, with the lunar, with the thing on the thing. When they're walking on the thing and planting the flag. What's the other deal? I was just like, man, you picked a bad inning to come in.
It was
in,
a great
Rick.
Inning.
We're going to have to get back. More Rick Armstrong. They're changing. Homer Bailey's going out. I don't know what he was thinking, even pitching here today.
Homer Bailey.
Poor Homer Bailey.
Homer Bailey. Well, Homer that's just, who, but look at, that's who the A's picked up to, for the playoff run
mm-hmm.
was Homer Bailey. Good Lord.
Homer Bailey, who was 1-14 well, just a couple of years ago.
And that's the difference between organizations. I mean, well, obviously the A's, they don't have a state. They don't even have their own stadium or something. I don't know. It's just terrible. But that's the haves and the have-nots. Yet that team continues. It's always the same with the A's, isn't it?
They're like
really good, and they just don't have enough. And so, Jeff Luhnow, I think that's a cautionary tale. You gotta play with the Yankees. You gotta play with the Dodgers. You gotta play. This is, you're not playing against the A's. The A's, you come in here and they're on your heels at 6.5 games out, thinking we're gonna do this, and then you slap their ass.
You don't do it all the time, and you
send them home.
You do it once every like 3 to 5 years. You don't do it all the time. This is a major, major opportunity, and you've got. And I don't know if you've heard or not, but they've got bleeping savages in the box. The Yankees do.
Yeah.
They've got savages in the box.
I've heard they've got bleeping savages.
And that's true. They do have savages in the box. And you got to have some savages on the bump if you want to deal with them. I don't know that I would consider Robbie Ray a savage.
I know the organization is really thinking lefty. I think, you know, with Bumgarner, I'm telling you, I think Bumgarner's going to be, they're going to go, you know what?
If we're putting Bumgarner on
hold, we'll lose him. We don't care. We're not going to get anything for him. But they're not going to get much for him anyway because he's a 2-month rental.
If he's available.
I don't think he's going to be available. Not the way the Giants are playing
right now. That's why the Astros are targeting him, because they don't have to give up good prospects.
That's right.
Jeff Luhnow doesn't want, he wants to value shot.
That's exactly why, because he says, listen, I've only got him for a couple of months. I'm not giving you all that. Plus, I don't even know how good he is. So that's a buyer's market. Matthew Boyd, not so much. Apparently, they're just asking for stupid prospects, and you go,
Matthew Boyd?
But I don't know that their theory on this whole thing. I see against the Dodgers that you really want a lefty because of that lineup, because of the left-handed bats in the Dodger with Bellinger and Jock Peterson and the rest. I get that. I really get that you would love a top-of-the-line left-handed starter against that team, but I don't think that's the case against the Yankees. I mean, with all those right-handed power bats, the Yankees would crush a lefty.
You know, really, Garrett, when you look at Garrett Cole, who I see, I mean, I see a guy like, it reminds me of a little bit of Roy Halladay. It reminds me a little bit of John Smoltz.
Well, this reminds me of Randy Johnson and Curt Schilling. The Diamondbacks
the one-two. Yeah.
This is as good as a 1-2. Potentially. Now, Garrett Cole's got a long way to go before he catches Curt Schilling, but this dude is dominant. And you've got an opportunity here. And Jeff Luhnow may be right. We can do this with two guys. But those two guys will not have any leeway. They can't have a bad start in the postseason. Otherwise, you're screwed. Otherwise, you lose. And not that Wade Miley can't win a game for you. He's pitched very well, very, very well. And that's nice. But you need a big three against the Dodgers. You need a big number three against the Yankees. And even whoever else is going to be in there, you're going to need against the Twins. The Twins are really good, man. They're really good. They're beating the Yankees right now. So this is you got to have that gun in there. You got a chance to do something special here. Win it all 2 out of 3 years. Just getting there and getting to the ALCS or getting to the World Series isn't good enough anymore.
You don't have to sell me. I'm in. Now, I'm not for dumb deals. I'm never for dumb deals. That doesn't make any sense. But I am for, I mean, this is a different deal. This is an opportunity. I really just think it comes down to, look, I'm not going to do a bad deal. I'm not just giving away, I'm not going to be on the back end of a Yordan deal where I give up Yordan for Josh Fields. I'm not going to be that guy. I get that, Jeff. But at the same time, you are going to have to realize that you're going to have to pay a dollar. You know, you're going to have to pay a dollar for 85 cents, probably. Your conversion rate, when I was in Cuba, the conversion rate was 87 cents to the dollar. You're going to have to, your conversion rate's not going to be what you want. You got Yordan. You basically bought stock in Netflix when it was a startup company with Yordan. That's what you got. The reality is, you know, this time around, you're probably going to get the worst of the deal. And the only reason you're doing that is because it's a supplement to what you already have to give yourself the best chance to win. I just don't think – I think from all the moves we've seen and near non-moves, it's pretty clear what Jeff Luhnow is about. He is not just giving away prospects. Daryl Morey views draft picks as just commodities, mm-hmm. right? He views them as commodities. He's actually – the despite the fact that they work the same and they have value propositions, Daryl's to the point where he just says the best players are the ones who win. We've really boiled this down to if you don't have elite players, you can't win titles. So Daryl does everything he can to get elite players.
Is baseball a little different?
No, it is different, but they're both very value oriented. Like when it comes to trades, Daryl always tries to get the best in a trade. Yeah. But what he does is he uses other general managers' value of first round picks against them because he's done studies where he doesn't think there's value when your picks are in the 20s.
Until you get Kawhi with the 15th and Siakam with the 27th.
In the 20s, though, and the Rockets have been in the 20s for quite a while now.
Yeah.
They don't pick 15.
Well, even when they were 14th every year, they took Marcus Morris. Okay. 744 ESPN 97.5. Time for me to talk about GiveMeTheVIN.com. GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's John Clay Wolf. John Clay Wolf is awesome. John Clay Wolf will put more money in your pocket. John Clay Wolf is the best at doing this. No one is better than giving you more money for your vehicle. And he talks about it. If you've ever listened to his Saturday show, other guys claim they can do it. He says they just don't get the numbers. They just don't get it. And he just throws it against the wall. He says, you know what? I'm going to keep throwing money at this thing. I'm going to keep throwing money at this thing, and it'll work out. But he does it on pennies on the dollar. He buys 2,000 cars a month, and he makes on some of them, and he loses on some of them. Oh, well. He says, but I know that in the long run, I'm going to get the most that I can for the vehicles that I sell. But he only sells them at auction. He doesn't sell them to people. He will not sell you back a car. You can't buy a car from him. What you can do is you can sell him your car at GiveMeTheVIN.com. And he is going to give you the most for it. He guarantees it. Because if he can't beat CarMax, you get $100. If he can't beat CarMax's offer, you get $100. GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Let's get Chris in here. He's got an Astros trade scenario. Then I want to talk about netting. Chris, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on this morning. Hey, so are you guys at all getting nervous that maybe we're hanging on to, like, Kyle Tucker and some people too long? And I say that because you got A.J. Reed and Derek Christian, a lot of those guys that we thought were going to be the next big thing. I mean, I don't want to trade him for Madison Baumgartner because I agree it's a two-month rental. But, like, a Marcus Stroman who's got 3 years of club control. Only reason why I say that is, you know, if we lose Cole in the offseason and we got Verlander and a what-if McCullers on 145 innings, then Verlander's got, what, one more year on that deal? I just think we should try to get something back. Every morning, I'm starting to get a weird feeling in my stomach, kind of like the feeling probably Rich Lord has this morning waking up. And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
What? Why Rich Lord catching it? That's not – Rich Lord's just sitting at home just minding his own business. All of a sudden, Rich Lord's catching it. So, Stroman, you've got this year and next year under control. That's it. This year. So, you only got him for these 2 months, and his fourth year of arbitration is next year. That's all you got him under control for. Now, Stroman might go, man, I like it here. I'm pitching with Justin Verlander. Let me sign another deal. We've got a chance to win it all as opposed to Toronto. You know, I could see Stroman going, yeah, these guys wanted me. They've wanted – the Astros wanted Stroman before. So, hey, this is an organization that wants me. I want to be here. They're going to pay me nicely. Maybe you can keep them. That sounds reasonable. But there's only one more year with Stroman. Verlander just signed up for this year and two more years. So you got a chance to be good for a while. You got to have a number two guy. You've got to have a guy that's going to step up. Forrest Whitley not stepping up has been a blow to the organization. Before the season started, I said he's one of the keys because if Forrest Whitley pitches well, comes in the middle of June where you get that extra year of arbitration and he pitches well to the postseason, you possibly have your number two guy moving into that slot when Gerrit Cole leaves because Lance wouldn't pay him. It would have been the perfect scenario that Forrest Whitley came in and lived up to the expectations. And he just hasn't. The suspension and the pitching poorly and the arm and all the things that has happened with Forrest Whitley. I'd take the chance on Stroman. You got him for another year? That'd be fine. I don't know what the asking price is. It could be a Whitley. It could be a Tucker. I don't know. I don't think, you know, Jeff Luhnow does not want to give up on any of his prospects. That's how Jeff Luhnow is. He was able to do a deal and not get rid of his top two prospects. He got rid of number three in Perez for Verlander. But I don't know that he's making all that much noise. I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll see what Jeff Luhnow. I just worry that his comments yesterday was just planting a seed that says, we're good enough. Don't worry, guys. I'm just worried. Now, the netting. The White Sox unveiled their nets all the way to the foul pole. Uh-huh. The Nationals game was suspended. Otherwise, they would have been also. I don't think they're all the way to the foul pole, but almost to the foul pole. I think this is going to be something that is going to be league-wide. Did you see whoever the White Sox were playing, the outfielder comes over. It was Miami. The left fielder comes over, and he catches a ball and then runs into the screen, and which is weird. That's what you do if you're a third baseman, although the dugout is in the way. If you're a catcher, you'll run up and you'll catch it up against the screen. But for a left fielder to do that, it had a little bit of a weird sense to it. Here's the thing, though. Somebody else gets hurt now because you haven't extended your netting. Now I think you're really looking at a big lawsuit. That little girl that got hit at the Astros game, apparently it wasn't enough for the Astros to act. They have said no. The White Sox said yes. Some people people down the left field line were a little bit pissed off. They're like, I got to look through a net now. And, oh, by the way, I can't get, when a player comes over, I can't ever get an autograph. I can't, it's hard to talk to him. I can't get a foul ball unless it goes over the screen. Yeah,
right.
Right. Nobody can throw the ball to you anymore unless you throw it over the net.
It does take those elements away.
Yes, it takes all of that away. And this is something that we're used to. However, we're also used to people, line shots going down the line now that are hurting people.
So here's the counter argument, and this is really more devil's advocate. But you would say, how many times do those pull job rocket shots or super late swings rockets in there, how often do they go in there? Not every game.
Not every game, but how many times? Okay, what do we see it? 4, 5, 6 times a year? 7 times a year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I think.
And sometimes people are awake and they catch it.
Yeah, or that we see, or there's no one at a game.
Yeah.
They green off of empty seats. Yes. So the counter argument's going to be, does it happen? It's the old, does it happen enough that we now alter fundamentally how baseball has had, you know, certain elements where between player and fan?
Well, is the counter argument, if it happens once, it's too often?
Well, I mean, we see this in life with stuff that is life arguments, right? So
we make the exception the rule.
Yes. A lot.
A lot.
Nowadays,
more than ever. Right. Right. Right.
So because we do make the exception to rule more than ever now, we are going to look out for the few over the many. And this is not a commentary by me.
Right.
I'm just saying this is more likely you respond for the few nowadays a lot more. So I think it's more likely that Major League Baseball, and because, as you mentioned, other teams have done it, that's an admission.
That is an admission that it's dangerous and you didn't act. Didn't act in the best interest of your fans.
Yep.
And you got a precedent where I would have been safe at another park, but you've decided that my safety isn't important. And now here comes a huge lawsuit.
Yes.
Even though it says
on the back of your ticket that no one reads.
Yeah, right. Guess what, though? Ticket be damned.
I'm sorry, excuse me. I don't agree with what's on this ticket. Can I sign out? Can I opt out? Is there an opt out here?
No.
What the ticket taker would say? I just push the button that scans the barcode.
Well, that the back of the ticket be damned, because there's been plenty of settlements of people getting hit that it doesn't matter that what was on the back of that ticket. I think that little girl that got hit at the Astros, I think they're in a settlement.
They're in a lawsuit.
Yeah. Well, I I don't know if
is
there's
gotten a settlement.
I think that they're talking about a settlement. Okay. I don't know. A settlement may have already happened and it's just been quiet. I don't know. But fact of the matter is that, that back of the ticket doesn't matter anymore. You're paying if somebody gets hurt. So the question is the it, listen, hockey had to do it. They put the plexiglass all the way around so that people wouldn't die. And yeah. The hockey's a lot more dangerous because the puck, you know, will go off the plexiglass a lot more often. And it's coming at a million miles an hour, and you have absolutely no chance to react.
Right.
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 So hockey is different. But if people are getting hurt, you know, even if it's just a matter of economics now, the White Sox did it, the Nationals did it, I better do it because I'm getting my ass sued.
You know, I wonder how far they will extend it. I wonder how far they'll extend it.
I think it's going to go
the net all the way to the pole. Seems a that's a long.
That's
way.
That's what the Sox did, and the Nationals almost there. Let's get Adam in here. He wants to talk about the netting. Oh no, we got to take a break. Dell, you ruined everything for everybody.
That Todd Callis voice can't happen again. This has really made me. I am bleeding internally. The screaming for Yuli's home run really has ruined me. Ugh.
Well, drink more coffee because that won't hurt your acid reflux.
No. Let me tell you. Hey, you don't want to hurt your insurance by getting a hold of my friends over at TGS. When you text money to 232323, that's your chance to save money. There's a reason it's money. It's because of how much money is being saved through TGS Insurance. TGS Insurance has a variety of insurance companies that are A-rated insurance companies that don't spend the millions and millions and millions of dollars on those national television ad broadcasting campaigns where they, you know, that you know the names. A lot of times those companies are actually using these companies as subriders. And so you have a chance to get these A-rated insurance companies for deeply discounted rates. The average savings right now is $870 for homeowners insurance. So make sure, and you know, that's annually. So make sure that you go with the experts over at TGS Insurance. All you have to do is text money to 232323, and they will have a quote ready for you within seconds. You'll get a firm quote, and you'll be on the road to great insurance coverage with deeply discounted prices. If you don't believe me, take the simple process of just texting money to 232323, or if you want to read more about the company and find out what they're all about, go to tgsinsurance.com.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.